What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Because you know, like at camps and stuff like this, you take the ball out, you ain't getting the ball back. Like, you the last one up the court, they already did their thing. So I stopped there, and I just got into a rhythm and started hooping.
The Lakers should sign Trae Young this summer.
They got to kind of start preparing for, like, if LeBron's last year is this year or next year, whenever it is. And I feel like a pick and roll with AD and a guy like Trae Young would be deadly.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
You know, if we're looking at it right now, I got Embiid as my MVP. I don't get a vote because I guess I get in too much trouble outside the studio still. But I would make Embiid, you know, my MVP.
Welcome into What's Burning here with Matt Barnes, DeMarcus Cousins, and Boogie. Matt was saying before we started, this is our first official What's Burning travel show because you're in your car.
Boom, hey, he got kicked out the house. That's his bedroom right now.
You would never know. If it happened, you would never know. Guys, we got to talk about the Western Conference and the NBA because it is completely out of control right now. Every day I look at the standings, I feel like it's a game of 52 pickup. Everyone keeps waiting for the Warriors and Lakers. Meanwhile, the Pelicans have won 5 straight. The Timberwolves are in there now. They've won 4 straight. They're in the number 6 spot as we sit here and record today. But by the time anyone listens to this podcast, I'm sure that will have changed drastically. There's only 6 or 7 games to go. Matt, when you look at the standings right now, which teams do you think are actually getting in and which teams are going to be in the play-in and which teams are going to be out for you?
I think my final two teams, I think my 7 and 8 slots are going to go to
well, who's going to be in 6?
I want to say Golden
State. That's the other question.
Yeah, so that's what I'm looking at right now because Minnesota's playing well. Mm-hmm. They just got Cat back. They just, you know, put it down on Sac last night. It's really up in the air. I feel like the first 3 seeds are locked. I feel like Phoenix will get that 4 spot because KD and Aiden are coming back, plus the Clippers are missing Paul George. So now I feel like 5 through 10 are questionable. I don't think the Clippers will slide too much. Okay. I think the Lakers will come in at 8.
Okay.
And I think, I'm just going to put Golden State at 7.
Wow.
And that's going to be tough for the 1, 2, and 3 seed, to be honest with you.
I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Boogie, do you think that the Timberwolves here, who, by the way, have one of the easier strength of schedules of all of these teams, do you think that the Wolves can stay where they are now? They've been out of the playoff picture for a while. And then, obviously, with Karl-Anthony Towns coming back, have made this great surge.
I think they can surge, you know, with this late run at the end. I think it's great timing for them to get Cat back. I can definitely see them making a big push towards the end. And also having the schedule that they have, it makes the road a little bit easier. So I can agree with Matt on the Timberwolves sliding in. As far as the Lakers go, I think they'll be in the play-in. I think, you know, they can obviously win that game and get to a playoff series with, you know, one of the top three. That's just a dangerous team to, you know, to enter in the first round with against anybody. So I think the Lakers can find some late success only if they remain healthy. And the Clippers, I'm not sure. Clippers, man. they've been so inconsistent all year. And to add PG's injury at this time of year, I don't know. I'm not confident in putting them in the playoff run, to be honest. I just don't see it happening.
What is the Clippers' strength of schedule remaining? Where are they at in the totem pole?
I think they're right in the middle. Producer Nate's going to look it up for us right now. What I don't get about the...
But can you imagine... Go ahead. I was going to say, can you imagine with, just hypothetically, if it's the Lakers 8, the Golden State Warriors 7, and the Clippers 6? I mean, arguably, we could see the 1, 2, and 3 seed, all three of them fall. Yeah. We could see two of them fall. We could see one of them fall. We could see none of them fall. So, I mean, to think that the Warriors and Clippers were the Western favorites coming into this season, they're at the bottom, but they could still be a first round upset and get hot and run to the finals. I mean, to me, the bottom of the West is more scary this year if it settles that way than I feel like I can remember.
It's hard though, because I keep waiting. The Warriors are a great example. They should be, and look, they don't have Andrew Wiggins, but they should be getting into that playoff form. We kept saying, the last 20 games, they'll figure it out. Well, they lost to Minnesota the other night in a last second game where they should have won. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's been times where we look at these teams, quote, at the bottom of the standings, the Clippers, the Lakers, the Warriors. In some cases, they're there for a reason. And I do wonder if we give them too much sort of benefit of, you know, the shiny pieces that they have. You look back, 45 of the last 46 NBA champions have been top three seeds. That being said, I'm not sure we've ever had a season like this. I don't remember a season where the Western Conference or any conference standings were this volatile, this late in the game with so many positions, as you said, Matt, from really 5 through 10 through 12 up for grabs. Nate's got his stat here with you. What do you got?
Clippers 6th hardest.
Oh, sixth hardest, more hard than I thought. All right, so Boogie's posit here has some weight. They have the sixth hardest schedule, Boog. So maybe they're the team that drops out. Although they did win Monday night, so it's very hard to figure out what's going on there. And when you talk about the Lakers, Matt, LeBron says he doesn't even want to be in the play-in. He said, "To hell with the play-in." Yeah. He said, "We can actually be a top six seed. That changed part of my mindset on me coming back and trying to be a part of this." I mean, where are they in this?
We've been waiting on it. Shit, we've been waiting on it. We've been waiting to see that. We've been waiting to see. We feel it, but we've been waiting to see it. So, I mean, the hell with it is the right idea, but the play-in might end up saving them and giving them an opportunity to really, you know, stretch their wings out and be healthy for the first time as a committee all season.
Have you guys seen, do you remember a time like this where it was this crazy down the stretch?
No. Well, you got to think the Warriors have been, I mean, you know, there's been clear-cut favorites for the last handful of years. I can't even remember how long. Like, to me, and I'd say with all due respect to Denver, you know, the bubble Western Conference run, to me, it doesn't prove nothing in this regular, you know, kind of circumstances we're in. And you look at Memphis, they're young and inexperienced. You look at Sacramento, they're young and inexperienced. So to me, the top three seeds have, obviously they're there for a reason. They earned it. They played well this season. But, you know, we talk about Golden State. We talk about the Lakers. We talk about the, you know, the Clippers. Those are all teams with veteran experience, guys that have won championships, guys that know if any team can turn it on, it's teams mm-hmm. like that that can turn. I'm not saying they're going to, mm-hmm. but you give those kind of teams the benefit of the doubt because they have players that have done it before.
I mean, I wouldn't want to see any of them. I know that. mm-hmm. Who are you guys for most sure. scared of in that conference?
Three things we're talking about.
Who are you looking at, Book?
Three teams you're talking about. Yeah. Clippers, Lakers.
To be honest, I mean.
Clippers, Lakers, and Warriors. I mean.
All right. So is it the Warriors for you, defending champs? Is it someone else?
I think you throw Phoenix in there, too. Mm-hmm. You know, word is KD is coming back this week. They get Aiden back. And KD is mm-hmm. one of those special superstars where you can just throw anywhere. You saw they were 3-0 before he got hurt. So Phoenix is someone that I want to watch out for. I think Chris knows his time is coming up. Book is playing at an all NBA level. And you know what KD does. And I could see KD kind of playing like the wingman until it gets real. How he did with Steph. He played the wingman until it got real and then he took over and got finals MVP. So to me, my team I'm watching is Phoenix.
All right, so they're the team you most wouldn't want to wake up and see.
Yes.
And what about you, Boogie?
I can agree with Matt. I think this is the first playoff run in recent years that we'll see a fully healthy Chris Paul as well. It's not as much pressure, mm-hmm. not as much of a workload with having Kevin Durant to that team.
Mm-hmm.
Phoenix is a very, very dangerous team. I can agree with Matt with that for sure.
It's going to be so interesting. Normally, I would give all kinds of, you know, credence to chemistry and you can't just throw guys in there. But with Kevin Durant, I kind of feel like all the rules are off. He is the guy that you can throw in there.
You can put him in any system and it's mm-hmm. going to work.
Absolutely. And just personality wise, too. You know, he's not coming in there and demanding that he be a star or that he be treated differently or any of that stuff. I just think all the rules about, hey, you need a whole season to play together. They go out the window with Kevin Durant. So we will see if health gets to be a factor there, but that's really the biggest question with them. Speaking of guys that got thrown together and the chemistry has not picked up so far is the Dallas Mavericks. They finally ended a 4-game slide Monday night when they beat the Pacers, but gosh, it has been a rough week. Luka has been talking about how unhappy and frustrated he is. He's hinted at having some issues off the court. They lost to the Hornets twice, including they were favored, I think, by 16. It was considered the biggest loss of the biggest upset, rather, of the entire season. Numbers wise, it just has not been good there. And by the way, since the Kyrie trade, they're 8-13, only 4 wins when Luka and Kyrie are in the lineup together. Matt, how would you describe what you're seeing here?
I think it's still early to kind of write off this duo because, you know, what is it, 8-13? They've only played 21 games together, mm-hmm. if my math serves me correctly. But
I think they played
this
even less
an
together.
Unpopular, yeah, right, that since he's been on the team. But this may be an unpopular decision. But I just look at Kyrie's track record, and as great as an individual talent he is, he had problems with LeBron, and he wanted to move on and be a leader. He goes to Boston. He doesn't get along with the two young stars. He goes to Brooklyn. And we'll talk about this later in the show. Arguably the biggest what if in the history with him, KD, and James Harden. Now he's in Dallas with Luka, who is the future of this league. Is it a coincidence that every time he goes to a team, there's dysfunction? I mean, Luka's had to carry the load for the last, 3-4 years all by himself, and we've never heard him speak about unhappiness. Obviously, there could be something weighing. You know, you hear stuff with his mom, and we don't want to speculate with what's going on with that. But it just seems like everywhere Kyrie goes, there is an issue. Now, that could be a coincidence, or it could be that Kyrie is the issue. As a great a talent he is, a top 5 talent, no doubt, but just seems like every time he makes a pit stop, shit gets fucked up. So I don't know if that's the case here. We're speculating because we're not in that locker room, but from the outside looking in, it's not hard to draw that kind of conclusion.
What do you think when you see them, Boog?
I think it's a similar situation to kind of what I went through when I got traded from Sacramento. mid-season, I ended up going to New Orleans and linking up with AD. And we struggled that second half closing part of the season because obviously it was a mid-season trade. Mm-hmm. Me and him were still finding chemistry. The guys that were traded away in order to acquire me then kind of threw off the whole balance of the team. So you're kind of finishing out a season with basically a half roster. You don't have the necessary pieces to complement your two stars to keep the whole flow and karate of the right. team moving forward. So in my opinion, that plays a big part in, you know, mid-season trades. And sometimes, you know, you get the Kevin Durant one and things can, you know, flow seamlessly. But that's just not the case with these two type of players. So I still think they deserve more time. I'll be more ready to judge this team next season when pieces that complement them and things of that nature, and then we can kind of make a judgment. But as of right now, this is just a mid-season trade. They have their two building blocks, so we'll see what they do with these next couple of seasons, if it even happens.
But Boogie, I was about to say, is there a guarantee that Kyrie stays? Is there a guarantee that Cuban pays mm-hmm. him to keep him? You know what I mean? Because I think they wanted to sample, and I agree 1,000% because I feel like you guys definitely hit your stride the next season, and then obviously, you know, mm-hmm. the injury derailed what you and AD could have did. But I think this is going to be a sample size, and if you're Mark Cuban and you don't even make the playoffs or you get bumped in the play-in, I agree with you because it took a lot of pieces exactly. to get Kyrie. Are you going to commit to Kyrie and give him the money that he, you know, deserves as a player individually? To me, that is a huge question as well.
I'm not sure what the market for Kyrie is going to be this summer.
Me neither.
I don't know what the market would be, but I definitely believe Cuban will make a better decision. He's been in this situation before as well when he made that trade for Rondo. So I think mm-hmm. Mark's a pretty good businessman, and I don't think he'll make the same mistake twice. So if anything, he's going to try to make this duo work to the best of his ability.
I agree. It's too early to really judge it. I just don't feel like they have defense, though. You know, at least when you and, you know, if you talk about you and AD situation, AD was a defensive anchor. You can move a little bit, but neither of these guys even want to play defense. You know what I mean? And those are the two stars. So that's my whole thing. So I think, you know, Cuban has a track record of making solid decisions, but this is a situation I wouldn't want to have to decide on.
It's just tough. I think it depends partly on what other teams are willing to offer Kyrie, because if you give Kyrie too much, obviously that eats up money that you could be spending yeah. on the rest of your roster. They absolutely need to get better defensively this offseason, and they'll tell you that. I mean, they knew what they were giving away mm-hmm. when they made the deal, and it was just mm-hmm. a huge, huge gamble that Kyrie was going to want to stay, that Kyrie wasn't going to get a ton of huge offers elsewhere. And they certainly thought that these guys would play better together and play better individually even than they have in this finishing kick. So it's going to be a lot of difficult decisions and interesting conversations in Dallas, especially if they don't even make the play-in, which is the position as we sit here and record today where we are, although again, 52 pickup, it could all change tomorrow. You talked about duos or guys that didn't work out, though. Producer Nate was trying to figure out what the top five duos that never worked out were, which of course prompted a lot of discussion here before we even started taping. Do you have yours? What do you think, Bug? Who are some of your duos who didn't work out?
Man. You know, obviously we got Addy and Charles Barkley. That didn't quite work out. The Yao Ming and Tracy McGrady duo wasn't that great. I mean, I can even throw myself in there with, you know, me and Anthony Davis. To say it didn't work would be, you know, a lie, because obviously that next season we proved we could work. But, you know, injury did, you know, derail what could have been. So we got to throw ourselves.
Well, that's kind of Yao and T-Mac, right?
Yeah, same situation. Similar situation. So, like I said, you got to throw it in there regardless of, you know, if the talent would have worked, but it didn't work. So, got to throw myself in there as well. So, if you ask me which duo I think is the most talented, I'm going to go with myself and AD for sure.
Yeah.
Mm. Absolutely.
The greatest never.
I wouldn't be mad at that.
Almost was. The greatest almost was champions.
almost.
Yeah, that would have been a problem. But I mean, also, I also think you throw in the Brooklyn situation. I mean, I think that'll go down probably as the greatest trio, duo, to never do anything. And then you look at you again, it's too early to judge, but if this comes to an end, you would think that Luka and Kyrie, when you think about just two guys that are going to go out there and get it, that are incredible players that really just haven't had a chance to find their chemistry. You know, you can definitely throw that in there, but again, it's been 21 games and even less together, but I have a hard time throwing Boogie in there though, because of the catastrophic injury that he had, because I think that next season you proved what you guys are going to do. But then Rachel, you bring a great point, you know, by the time that, you know, T-Mac and Yao were ready to rock, they both were struggling from injury. So it's a tough situation, but the something without injury, to me, the biggest what if will be the Brooklyn Nets. I think that'll go down in history as, you know, you get a Kyrie and you get a Kevin Durant, then you had a James Harden. It's just like, holy shit, this team on paper could be the greatest ever. And they didn't accomplish anything, which is unfortunate for fans and for them.
I saw a stat yesterday that the guys who came over in the Phoenix trade have now played more games together for the Brooklyn Nets than that trio did for the Brooklyn Nets. Trade deadline was last month, people. This has already happened.
20 games.
Wow.
20, 21 games. It's insane.
Absolute insanity. Well, it's tough when we think about, you know, duos or trios or superstars. We were really excited being together when they didn't work out. You know, injury is one of the biggest thieves there. I mean, it's one of the situations where it's just and then there's the guys that didn't work out for reasons that go way beyond that into the locker room. And those are the ones, too, that I think are hard for fans.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Opportunity is not equally distributed. To every Black entrepreneur listening, I want to make sure you have the tools and resources you need to grab your next opportunity. That's why I'm telling you about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million Black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the Black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have Black ownership. This program gives Black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 Black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million Black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being Black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive 120-day free trial at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk?
get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
The West is a mess. I want to get back to the East for a minute. We had a very controversial moment Monday night, guys. Joel Embiid did not play in the very hyped up MVP on MVP voter violence matchup, Rumble, WWE, whatever you want to call it, was supposed to happen between Embiid and Jokic when the Sixers came to visit the Nuggets and Embiid sat with a calf injury. What did you make of that when you heard that he wasn't playing, especially since he had played the last couple games? But he has been dealing with a legit injury. It's a little bit tough to know where to put your feelings on this, Boogie.
I don't feel any type of way about it. We've seen the matchup. We've seen the results of it. He just dropped 50 on him not too long ago. To keep pushing this narrative. And obviously I understand it's an MVP race, but it's a long-term goal, which is winning a championship for the 76ers. And if we're focused on an individual award and a single game in regular season, then I don't think everybody's on the same page in an organization. So I think this was the perfect move. Obviously it sucks for the fans and for the viewers and watchers of the game, but it's a long-term goal here. And you got to make sure the big fella is healthy. And we just got to stop looking for excuses to, bash Joel and praise Jokic.
Not give it to him. Yeah, like, not give it to
they're
him.
They're both
right?
great in their own right. Let's respect that part. And when it comes to the two players, for me, it's hard to even compare. And the reason I say that is I view Jokic as, a LeBron type. He's an all-around player. He gets everybody involved, things of that nature. And he's great at it. And then I view Joel, as more of a killer, a Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant type, where he can dominate the game with his abilities and keep the defense on their heels the entire game. And it's just a whole different type of dynamic and playing style that he comes with. They're both great and all right, and I think both guys should just be credited for their greatness and not compared. And, the whole toxic conversation that's going around, I hate it. So just give these guys their flowers individually.
I agree. I think, although we would love to see the matchup that would have happened Monday night, when you look at their head-to-head record, Embiid is 5-2 against the Joker. Is beating him in every statistical category except assists. Obviously, that's Joker can go down as one of the greatest passing big men we've ever seen. And also on the flip side, obviously, back-to-back MVPs, but I don't feel like for some reason Joker gets the heat that other guys that have won MVPs gets? Like, when does his team have to win a championship for his, you know, MVPs to be validated? You know what I mean? You see a lot of people who are on the clock. They need to win this. They need to win that. But then I don't hear no one talking about the two-time, possibly three-time MVP's team needs to win. And granted, Rachel, we've talked about this before, injuries play a big part. Yep. You know, obviously your team has to be together. But at the same time, I mean, this man is the MVP of the league. So I think it'll be interesting. I think Joel obviously made a statement the last time they played. We would have loved to get a chance to see this time because they only get a chance to play each other twice a year because they're in different conferences. But, you know, if we're looking at it right now, I got Embiid as my MVP. I don't get a vote because I guess I get in too much trouble outside the studio still. But I would make Embiid, you know, my MVP. And I think obviously Giannis and Joker are right in that mix as well.
I mean, do you guys, you tell me, is there a player's code about, hey, you know, you don't miss games like that. If you're, you know, limping in on one leg, you got to show up. Or is it more of a time where it's like, hey, that's not smart when you're about to try to make a playoff push to play if you're not feeling well?
Well, I think it's different. You know, I think the times have changed. I think, you know, the first part you put, you know, maybe back when early 2000s when I came in the league or maybe when Boogie first came in the league, you try to play through little nagging stuff. But I really feel like, you know, Philly feels like, you know, they've been playing some good basketball and they have a chance to represent the Eastern Conference. So if it is something that they feel is nagging and they want to heal, I don't know if sitting out one game is going to do that. But, you know, with someone like Embiid, I would err on the side of caution. You know, although, you know, the MVP is a tremendous, you know, accolade, I think the goal, like Boogie said, is to win a championship. So you don't want to risk that for an individual award. So, I mean, we'll see how it plays. If he comes back and plays next game, I would have been like, hey, you know, maybe you could have sat out one of the other games and played this game. But who are we to judge all that shit?
I mean, I don't have a problem with sort of the number of missed games overall, which is the other thing that got brought up a lot in the wake of him not playing this game. It was his 14th missed game of the season. There's only one player in NBA history who's missed more than 12 and still won the MVP. That was Bill Walton in the 78 season. He missed 24 games. But to me, that issue, he's played enough. To me, Joel has played enough that I have seen what he can do this season. Yep. It's a different time, as you point out. Guys miss games more often. And his body type and sort of playing the position he plays, I think he's going to miss a little bit more games more often. To me, it's has he played enough games that I can see who he is this season and I can judge whether he is the MVP or not. Do you guys put a lot of stock in games played when we get to this level?
I do. I do put a lot of stock, but I don't think he's missed like 24 games. That's right. A lot. I mean, I would be like, damn, you won MVP if you missed 24 games. But, you know, to miss 12, 14 games out of 82, where say he even misses a game or two, you know, coming into the to the closing line, I don't think that's, you know, enough to rule him out. Because, you know, again, when he plays and he's played a lot this year, we already know what he's going to give you.
I agree. Obviously, it's not some crazy number where it's a drastic difference, but, you know, 12 missed games isn't anything in my opinion. So that's not enough for me to say I don't think he deserves an award. So I'm not going with that notion either.
We got another guy, big star, missing games, but this one might be for a different reason. Damian Lillard sat out his third straight game Monday night. Now, Blazers lost to the Pelicans. They're in 13th place. He's out with also calf tightness. Only 8 games left in the season for them. And it's possible we don't see Dame the rest of this season, right? If they're already in 13th, we just talked about how many teams are trying to elbow into the West, into those final spots. And maybe Portland decides, okay, we're going to go for the lottery. But does shutting Dame down for the season mean, I don't know, Matt, do you think that we're not going to see Damian Lillard in a Blazers uniform again? Because the talk is up now that there might be looking for a deal for him this summer.
I hope we don't see Damian Lillard in a Portland Trailblazers uniform no more. And that's no knock on him. I just, you know, as loyal as he is, he's loyal to a fault.
People of Portland.
And you got to respect that. But Rachel, I think the only way Dame leaves Portland is if they, quote unquote, make him leave. You know what I mean? If they understand they're going to be in a rebuild and we understand that he's at a point of his career where he doesn't want to rebuild. I think if Portland almost forces him out, you know, obviously they'll use much different wording than I'm using, but I think Portland's going to have to push him out to get him to leave. I don't think if you leave it up to him that he's going to leave. at this point. But for his sake, I would love to see him leave. He's still only 32 years old, having a career year at 32, averaging 32 points. I would just love to see him have a real, real chance at winning. And Portland hasn't given him that. I think their best teams were the teams that kept running into that Warriors team, that Warrior dynasty. Right. I think Portland was a really good team, and they kept running into that dynasty that, that Golden State had. So their greatness ran into the Warriors' greatness, and obviously the Warriors' greatness prevailed. So I think the ship has sailed for any kind of greatness going on in Portland, and I would love to see Dame leave, even if that means Portland has to kick him out the door.
But do you think we see Dame play for the Blazers again here?
I'm with Matt. Please, no. It's this time, man. They're not really doing anything for him roster-wise. They're not getting any, you know, help for the guy. It's ran its course. I think Dame is, you know, proving his point on, you know, his morals and what he stands on. He's a big-time loyalty guy, and I'm cut from that same cloth, so I'm appreciative of that. But at this point, it's about legacy. It's about, you know, your name, all the blood, sweat, and tears you put in, and you deserve at least an opportunity to play for the big, you know, the bigger picture. I think it's some teams that could take him on right now, and he could literally, you know, make them a contender. So, yeah, it's definitely time. It's overdue.
Who are those teams, in your opinion?
The team that pops out to me right away is Miami Heat. You put him with, you know, Jimmy Butler and Bam, I think they got a chance to dominate the East and come out with a chance, you know, to contend. So Miami sticks out. Obviously, the Lakers are always in that conversation. If there's any way to, you know, pair him with LeBron and Anthony Davis, you have to do it. But I can also see that trade, you know, breaking up that tandem as well. So, you know, obviously the Clippers are in that conversation as well. They got a lot of pieces that they could move to make that happen. But
yep.
As far as Portland, it's overdue.
Well, look, he's got a really big salary, so that's going to be a factor about where he could end up. Although I always say that if a team wants to get someone, they can figure out a way to get them.
They'll make it happen.
Yep. I'd love to see him in the Garden, personally. I think that Dame in a Knicks uniform would be pretty out of hand. But it's hard because you talk about the relationship between the city of Portland and the way he has been with that town and the loyalty in both directions there, by the way. I mean, the fans there adore him. It is a two-way street there. Mm-hmm. And so it is uncomfortable to talk about the idea that that partnership might break up. I think Dame has been so smart in the way he's talked about that loyalty that you're referring to, Boogie. And he said, look, I don't want to go chase championships because A, that's not how I'm built. And B, a lot of the guys that have done that, that have left to sort of went beyond what they thought was going to be a title team, it hasn't worked out. We just talked about how things fell apart in Brooklyn. Uh-huh. There's been a lot of teams where guys thought that they were joining a super team and it doesn't play out that way. So he doesn't want to make that kind of move. That being said, there's a big difference between I'm not just chasing every shiny car that goes by and there might be a better situation for him. Absolutely. And the Blazers might decide there's a better situation for both sides this summer. I just can't believe that, you know, if that happens, it's going to happen kind of like this with a whimper. It's a bummer. It's a bummer that he's not able to go out fighting if this is, in fact, his final days in Portland.
I agree.
We'll see.
We will see. All right, we got to get to our legendary moments presented by Top Shot. Playoffs are approaching. Best moments of the NBA playoffs can be collected and traded as limited edition and officially licensed highlights created in partnership with the NBA. These are called moments. So my question to you guys is, which NBA player had the most legendary performance in the NBA finals? And look, they've got six options, six moments. They've got LeBron, AD, Steph, Klay, Giannis, and Drew. Do you guys have one of those guys where you say, this is the moment that stands out for me for one of these guys? What about you, Matt?
I would say Drew Holiday steal in the finals. Who did he get? Booker or CP? He took it from one of them and went down and threw that lob. That's what I knew. Although it was only game five or game six that I thought Milwaukee was going to – that was just such a big play. So, yeah, that for me, that was a Drew Holiday.
Nice. What about you, Boogie?
I'm going with the same play. That's just that's a prime example of championship basketball, playing both ends.
Yep.
I don't think it's a better example of it. I got to go with the same moment. I love it.
There's so many good stuff there on the Top Shot site. You can go collect your NBA Top Shot moments today at topshot.com. Get closer than ever to the game and the players you love. Sign up today. All right, guys, a little on the radar presented by DraftKings. What was once seemingly an award that Jaren Jackson Jr. was running away with. We got a new contender emerging in Brooke Lopez. I want to look at the odds. Brooke Lopez, now a minus 200 for Defensive Player of the Year. Well, JJJ has the second best odds. He's plus 150. I don't know. What do you guys think? Memphis has the best defense in the West. Boogie, who would you take between those guys for Defensive Player of the Year?
I'm going to go with the young fella. I like the culture they created. He's a young guy that's creating a name for himself. They're at the top of the mountain amongst a very heavily talented West Conference. Just to be able to create a standard like that and, this heavy competition, I think that's incredible. It kind of reminds me of, the OKC vibes of that young Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, James Harden. Obviously not as talented, but just being able to create something so special so early, you got to. So I'm young fella.
I'm going to go with Brooke Lopez. I think, and we talked before we got on air, the way he's been able to adapt his game to survive as long as he survived. I mean, this guy was an all-star center playing on the block, putting up monster numbers on the block, and he's been able to change his game to this current game where he's one of the best shooting bigs and he protects the middle, and he's a great tandem with Giannis. So that, and him and his brother used to come to our AU practices when they were like 7 or 8 years old and steal women's purses from under the bleachers and get in trouble all the time. So I like Robin and Brooke because I've been knowing they've been little menaces for a long time.
We have to point out, they gave them back. This was not them like stealing them away. Yeah. They would move them around.
They were little kids.
They were little kids being mischievous. They were not thieves.
Yeah, no. Their older brother played on my AU team, and the little twins, it was crazy. They were little twin boys, and they were just climbing up walls, and things they used to do is they used to like take purses from underneath the bleachers and just do all kinds of wild little shit. So from that to, hopefully a Defensive Player of the Year, my pick is Brooke Lopez.
I can't imagine two twin boys causing trouble in a basketball environment.
I can.
Matt Barnes, I don't know.
I can. Trust me, that's why they have a special place in my heart.
That's your every day.
Right.
Boogie, have you seen Matt's twins play?
Oh, yeah. Ballers. Way better than their pops.
That's the plan. What you mean?
Exactly.
That's the plan.
That's the master plan.
Hey, you just make sure you have your seatbelt on in your car right now. Safety first.
Come on. This is a travel show, baby. Matt. We got to talk some Jaylen Brown before I let you guys go. If Jaylen lands one of the 15 All-NBA slots coming up, being voted on by a panel of 100 sports writers and broadcasters at the end of the regular season, he will be eligible to sign a 5-year, $290 million Supermax extension with the Celtics this summer. Been to some discussion in the media about JB's future with the Celtics. Guys, look, Boogie, you were in this situation in Sacramento before the trade. It's such a strange position to be in, knowing that you have to make All-NBA and that the bunch of sports writers are the ones who decide it. What is that like as a player to know that that this is how this works right now in the NBA? And what do you think of the system?
I think it's a bullshit system. And the reason I say it's a bullshit system, because there's some bullshit media members as well. I can say that from a personal standpoint. It's about basketball. It's about how you perform on the floor. In my mind, I look at it as, you got to kiss a little ass just to, get what you're looking for out of this when it shouldn't be that way. So I'm looking for more of a criteria, more of a standard to, what it takes to get these accolades and achievements done. So, I'm not a fan of what's going on within the media anyway, so that's just my opinion.
Rachel, with you being someone that has voted. Have you voted on that in the past?
I have, and I'm going to vote again
so
this year.
Are you aware of stuff like this? Like, hey, like obviously once it kind of starts floating, does that play into a decision amongst you and some of your colleagues?
Well, those are two separate questions. Am I aware of it? Yes. Does it play into the decision?
Okay.
Not for me. And look, by the way, as a voter, as someone who's worked in this business for a long time, there is no way, Boogie, that I'm going to defend every media member out there because, of course, just like with a group of players, just like with everything, some of the people are crazy and some of the people are very smart and know what they're doing. So it's just like any other large group of people. I will say, though, what I come back to every time players have a problem with the way this is decided is who else do you want? Because we have seen, I'm not saying this is a perfect system. I just don't know what the solution is. When players vote themselves, and we have players who vote for the All-Star game, it doesn't happen in a way that makes any sense. You had Chet Holmgren, who hadn't played a game this season, get four All-Star votes. You have guys who are bench players on the team getting votes for All-Star. So when it comes to these kinds of awards and $300 million on the line, I don't know if you can trust players because they don't vote in a way that has shown that they're actually voting on any kind of criteria. And of course, there's favoritism and grudges. I mean, if Pat Beverly had to vote on whether Russell Westbrook got an award, I mean, how would that go, right? So I don't think the players can vote. The coaches obviously have even deeper relationships, ties, and allegiances than any media member might. You say you've got to kiss a little ass to get some media to vote for you. Obviously, a player-coach relationship, I mean, there's all kinds of things going on there where the voting would not be kosher. So I don't know what the solution should be. Matt, do you have a solution for what we should do here?
No, but I just also think, I mean, the proof is in the pudding. Jaylen Brown, to me, is one of the best two guards in the NBA. He plays both sides of the ball, and I think he deserves that supermax. And I don't think that people should have to vote on that for him to get that. I think his play has proven that he deserves that. So I agree with you, Rachel. To me, there's no other logical way to get an all-NBA team. I mean, I was going to say we need to get some of the older players, maybe some Hall of Famers, but some of them dudes are old haters, you know what I mean? Yeah. So that may not work either. So there is no perfect system, but I agree with Boogie from a standpoint of just as Boogie did, he played himself into that max, and then unfortunately he got hurt. But I feel like Jaylen Brown has proven himself to be a top player in this league, and he should get that money. And I don't think it should hinge on whether or not he makes one of the top three all-NBA teams.
I mean, that's something that the owners and the Players Association could easily just make happen is say that postseason awards, whether it's All-NBA, whether it's MVP, that they don't count as part of contract incentives. Right. If they wanted to just erase the media's role in this kind of thing and the money kind of aspect of it, they could do that in the next CBA. They're negotiating a CBA right now. So I don't know if there's been any discussion about that. I don't think it's a perfect system at all. I do think that Jaylen Brown, though, has earned his way into that spot. And I might think that whether there is money on the line or not, you know what I mean? Last year, there wasn't money on the line. The year before, there wasn't this kind of money on the line. So he's gotten votes at different times for all kinds of reasons. It's just this time there's a very high dollar amount attached to it. We'll have to see what happens there. Wanted to get through a couple other quick things. This is a couple weeks ago, but I wanted to wait until you guys were both here. The Athletic ran a poll of players who were, I think, former players recently retired. And part of the idea was, what would you do differently in your professional career if you could play in the current era? And obviously, I'm talking to two guys who are very close to the current side of the game. But yeah, I expect to see you back on a floor next season. So you're having a unique ability to be able to speak to this. What would you do right now? What's the most important? And some of their things are work harder or train smarter, shoot more threes, be more careful with my money, take the game more seriously. Any of those options do you think would hit you, Matt?
No, because I did all those things. I would say I would just not cuss at the ref so much.
All right, there we go.
I think that gave me obviously a bad reputation because I played hard, I worked hard, I knew what my role was, I executed my role. So if I were to come back, I would have other people cuss the refs out, not me.
But what about you as you head back to an NBA court?
It would have been more so along those lines. As far as being a professional and all those things, I think I did that to the best of my ability, but it's it's some relationships I wish I could, you know, change or work on in a different way or approach in a different way. And maybe more so reactions for me. But as far as anything to do with the game, I think I did that at a high level.
Well, 10% of the guys surveyed say I would do nothing differently. So you got to respect that.
Right.
2% said stretch more. So I thought that was pretty good. Also,
that's a good one. Did anyone say stop cussing the refs out, or is that just
no,
me?
No, I believe that's just you.
No, that's me and you, man.
There you go.
Right, for real.
We also had a few weeks ago, the Clippers revealed that their plane was struck by lightning. Do you guys remember that story from earlier this month?
I heard that. Yeah.
And it just made me want to ask, did you have any close call travel stories?
We were gambling on the Clippers team plane, and I lost like a $60,000 pot on some bullshit. I think CP and Blake cheated me. So I punched the window. And I broke, luckily, it's two layers, but I broke the first window.
Are you serious?
And I had like a big ass scar. Still to this day that was leaking everywhere. But luckily, it's a double pane window or we would have fucking probably went down. I punched that thing hard because they definitely slid of the eye. Someone kicked me in my leg and the next thing I know I'm losing when I had an impossible hand to lose. So we talked about that on JJ Redick's podcast. He's the one that actually brought it up because I forgot about it. But yeah, we were gambling a big money hand one time and I lost and I punched the window just out of instinct. And luckily it was a double pane window.
First of all, that's supposed to be unbreakable glass. You know that, right?
Yeah, not with these fists though.
How much money did you lose?
I think it was, they didn't fine me for the window.
I don't remember on the hand.
Yeah, I remember if it was it was like a $40,000 or $60,000 hand. Damn. So I was pissed. I wanted to fuck up Blake or CP. I don't know, one of them cheated me. I don't remember who was dealing at the time, but they got me.
These accusations, Matt Barnes.
I have. It was one all-star break. I was flying to see my wife now, but at the time my girlfriend, she was in school. So I flew down after a game in New York. We played at the Garden that night. It was a crazy after the game. So I rented this PJ. I literally flew to Montgomery, Alabama by myself during this blizzard. And it was like the most terrifying experience I've ever had in my life, dude. I couldn't see anything outside the plane. It felt like it was just about to fall out of the sky. Like it was rock. The turbulence was crazy. It was definitely a moment where I started to, you know, pray to God and just be like, man, just I changed everything in my life. You just get me out of this moment. So I think that was the moment for me.
Hey, what you won't do for love. Don't Pac have a song?
What you won't do.
Crazy thing is, I still get chewed out about it, man.
I mean, come on, you got on the plane for her.
I know, man.
Crazy, right? That should be a free pass for life.
That's what I thought.
Baby, I almost cost my life coming to see.
That's right. That's right, man.
I love you, girl.
Well, don't get into any freak snowstorms in your current car travel as we sign off your book. We've been honored to be with you on this journey. What's Burning Friends available every week on Showtime Basketball YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Show Basketball. See y'all next week.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having pink lady apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit RightRug.com, that's RiteRug.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.